always in the middle of trade period is Stephen Silvani. I wonder how he rated the last couple of weeks. He joined us on the line. Sausage, welcome.
How are you, Gaz? Tim?
How are you this morning? You wake up, we've got a few Carlton supporters are saying, what in the hell's been going on the last couple of weeks? How do you see it?
Oh, look, obviously, we were able to get a couple of plays through in Mark Pitternet and also Eddie Betts that we're really excited about. But obviously, there's an element of disappointment. You know, Tom Papley made it clear that he would have liked to have got to Carlton Football Club. And the same with Jack Martin. Obviously, in Tom's situation, you know, it's always difficult to get a player through who's contracted. And look, the process when you target a player or a player would like to come to your club, you have a close relationship with a manager, or you have dialogue with the manager to know, well, what's going to get that deal done. Obviously, we sat down and put a deal that we thought could get that player through the door. Otherwise, they just wouldn't go down that process. But ultimately, you know, the Swans have that final say because he is contracted, and it didn't work our way. So that's disappointing for Tom. And Jack, really, we thought we put a really good deal to Gold Coast. But having said that, they knocked it back. But there's still a process that we can go down with Jack, whether that's through the national draft or pre-season draft. But that's something we'll work out in the next sort of 3 to 4 weeks.
Hey, Sos, did the Sydney Swans spell it out very clearly from day one what their stance was with Papley?
Oh, look, they certainly did. They were of the opinion that they couldn't lose another quality player, knowing that Zach James was going out the door as well, but also their ruckman and Cameron. And then if Tom was to leave, they certainly needed to get something through the door. So we were understanding about that. Sorry. we basically knew their situation, but we worked really hard to get Tom through the door, but it didn't come our way. But having said that, we're really excited because obviously pick 9 would have been involved in that Tom trade. But we know we're going to get a really good player, an exciting player with pick 9 going into the national draft.
Hey, Sos, we've received a lot of feedback from Carlton fans this morning, and they want to know why the club didn't have a contingency for the Papley deal if it fell over, and why there wasn't some desire maybe to try and recruit Butler. Can you explain your thinking behind that?
Well, I think the contingency plan was always to go to the draft with pick 9. You know, we've brought in, I understand with Butler, there's still some plenty of things to sort of play out over the next sort of 3 or 4 weeks. You know, there's still a free agency period. There's still a pre-season draft, a national draft. So we're really excited to go to the draft now with pick 9. Having said that, would have been great to get Tom through the door, but we know we're going to get a good player at pick 9.
Hey, Sos, it's Sam Edmund here. Just the 3 or 4 weeks that you're saying still needs to play out, one of those things is obviously the pre-season draft. How much homework had the club done in conjunction with Jack Martin and his management about this scenario taking place and him obviously nominating Carlton, and he obviously have pick 3 in that pre-season draft? How real is the possibility that that will go through in a few weeks' time?
Oh, look, I mean, you just never know what could happen. You know, we understand that there's another 2 drafts to go ahead. But we're in a strong position. But having said that, you know, there's always the element of risk of a couple of other clubs being able to pick up Jack if he chooses to go in the pre-season draft. Obviously, there's Gold Coast and Melbourne before us, or whether it's the national draft. But that's something we can talk about. We've got some time to work that out, and ultimately that's going to be up to Jack and his management group.
Do you get involved in the recommendation on whether it's the national draft or the pre-season draft?
Look, obviously if he chose to go down that track, there would be a strategy in place. Look, right at the minute, Gary, I really can't talk too much about that. I'm sure Jack would be disappointed that we couldn't get that deal done yesterday, of which we thought was a really good deal for the Gold Coast. Yeah, that's something that we're going to have to sit down when everything does settle and see what we can do.
I know when he calls me, Gary, he's
very serious. He's very, very serious. And this is a really serious question too, Sos. How far down the track did you get with Ollie Wines? We know that he wanted to get to Carlton. How far down the track did you get with him in those discussions?
No, really. There were very Ollie's name came up, but there was he was never put on the table or you know. So it was something that that I think was blown out of proportion a little bit. So and to be fair to Port Adelaide and Ollie, you know, he's obviously a Port Adelaide player and you know, a really good one at that. But if he did come available in the next year or two, we'd certainly be sitting down to have discussions with Ollie.
Okay. My information is that he was available now. He wanted to get to Carlton, but the only reason he couldn't get there is because you couldn't accommodate him in the salary cap right now, because obviously there's some planning that goes around that. Is that true?
No, that's not quite true. No.
Not quite true? Which bit of it is true?
Well, Gary... sorry, Tim, I just think, you know, we're dealing with hypotheticals here. You know, I'm not prepared to talk about Ollie and a Port Adelaide player when, you know, the draft period's being done and, you know, he's contracted once again to Port Adelaide.
Yep, fair enough.
What are you looking for at pick 9?
The best possible player in the draft, Gaz. Look, it's the top end of the draft's really exciting, you know, and hence why we really valued pick 9. We think we're going to get a really good player that's going to be a long-standing Carlton player. So, I mean, really, for all Carlton supporters, what we pick at 9, you'll be really happy with. And we've still got a whole variety of picks. You know, we've got pick 43 and 58, but we're able to hold on to our future picks as well, whether that's, you know, future second, future third, and our future first. So, we're in a really strong position in terms of to be able to do to get plays in the future, whether that's through the draft or through trading.
Would you consider Harley Burnell? Saucy, have you got his eye on him? Are you interested as to how he's progressing with his injury recovery?
Probably not, Tim. But having said that, I mean, the next couple of weeks, 2 to 3 weeks, is really important to see what... What you'll find is that some players may get delisted for spots, for draft spots. So we'll see what comes off lists and assess our own list. And we're really comfortable where our list is at. We think it's a really talented list. We this year we had a number of injuries, a number of good players that didn't play a lot of football. So we're happy where our list is at. But we'll do the right thing for the Carlton Football Club.
Sauce, do you think you will at least seek to get in front of Harley at any stage?
Oh, look, it's probably unlikely at the minute. We really haven't spoken about Harley at all, to be perfectly honest. But yep. That's not to say that might happen in the next week or two.
Hey, good to talk to you. Been a busy month or so, I'm sure, and you've still got plenty of work to do. Appreciate you hopping on this morning.
Thank you, Gary.
Hey, Soss, just quickly before you go, you still there?
Yeah.
I'm here. How much consideration in all this trade period over the last 10 days did you give to winning the Golden Feather Award at the end of it all?
What's the Golden Feather?
I don't pretend you don't know. That goes to
What's the Golden Feather?
That goes to the best trade deal during the trade period.
The Feather in the Cap Award.
The Peter Bell inspired.
Well, I certainly didn't win that one.
Thank you, Sausage. I think by anyone's measurements, has been a very, very successful period for the Saints. Lethers, well done. You'd be pretty pleased, I reckon.
Yeah, well, the club's ecstatic about some really great momentum. You know, we've got a new coach and now we've got 5 new players that wanted to come and join us and hopefully take us up the ladder, which is the key aim.
I know you've only been in clubland for... a couple of years, but when you identify 5 and you get 5 through the door, I don't think that happens too often.
No, it doesn't, and especially in the age profile of which they all are, and I guess the oldest is Paddy Ryder, and he'll serve as a real mentor for Rowan Marshall, but also a mentor for our Indigenous players. So, yeah, the demographics of all the players is really exciting for us.
Take us back in the planning. How long has this been in the making?
Yeah, let's not make out that it's all meticulous and lots of things fell into line for us. We certainly had, we needed to get a ruck and we identified Paddy as, I think, the best in the market. So that was a competitive process though. And so you don't find out about that until a few weeks out. You know, Butler sort of is a bit of a late one. He's sort of checking the waters about where he might end up and has a few to choose from. Howard, very late in the piece, you know, he didn't really get the all clear to look around until late. You know, he's a well-respected player over there and I think he stacked us up against a few. And Jones, you know, during the year, has always had a bit of an interest. He's a Bayside boy from down Mount Martha and Seaford Way. And I've forgotten who the fifth one is now.
Hill. He's a reasonable player.
Hilly was the main one we identified. We need speed and class. Yeah. And he's 2 years to go in a contract, so we certainly inquired early, did the work. And I reckon Colin Young was on here.
He was.
Told you guys that by about July, they probably had their mind made up. So he was always the target. And then to get things done from there was going to be sort of an if we could situation. So, you know, I heard Soss before, and if you've only got one or two things to do, it can be harder sometimes because, you know, we had five things to do and we were prepared to lose some if we had to, but it all found a place. But that won't happen all the time.
So in a roundabout sort of way, not deliberately, but when Peter Bell knocked back your first offer for Brad Hill, it meant that you had to get a bit more creative and you split your pick. It probably helped you in the end.
Oh, absolutely. We having things to do mean you've got deadlines, and so we were honest about those and enabled us to go and do things. We didn't want to miss out on the chance to get Howard. We probably knew we'd always get Ryder, but we wanted to get Howard and Jones if we couldn't get Hill done. So, again, we weren't going to do the Howard deal, though, if we weren't going to be able to have enough left to pick up Hilly. So that was the critical part of splitting it, but also keeping pick 10. We were true to our word with Freo that Hilly was a top 10 pick sort of player, so we maintained that in negotiations with Port and able to get the rest of it done. So yeah, it's hard work, but I sort of maintain you don't have to win every trade along the way. You want to win the collective, the sum of all the parts at the end. So we probably gave up too much in some of those trades. We gave up less than we thought in others. So you get there in the end with a decent hand next year and in pick 51, still to have a crack at the draft.
What's your scouting report on Dougal Howard? Because we've had a bit of fun with the enhancer, and he's gone from being Dougal Howard that most people in the football world didn't know to Dougal Howard, who's a combination between Peter Knights and Ross Glendening. So what's your scouting report saying on him?
Well, our scouting report, and I'm here on behalf of James Gallagher, who's done all the work. He identified Dougal, in about July, and he identified himself in Shanghai when he absolutely spanked us over there amongst one of 22 who did. And so Gags mentioned that he would love to give him to our club, but he had 3 years to go or whatever it was. And when he fell out of the team, and that's only because of the quality of Clooney and Jonas and others down back, to be honest. So if we could get a 200-centimetre athletic centre-half back to come in his age profile, we thought we'd have a good swing at it. And it all really fell into place that he'd fallen out. He didn't want to play forward. He was given the chance to look around, and we think he can play centre back for 8 to 10 years, to be honest. And that is hard to find. So yeah, we're really excited. He might well be the most exciting of that crop.
So do you move on him before Josh Bruce, or how did that all come about? The fact that, you know, Josh Bruce didn't get his contract extension, so he'd already started discussions, or his people had already started discussions with the Bulldogs. The timeline around that?
Yeah, the chronology is hard to recall, to be honest, because it's literally happening all year. I mean, the discussions you have with list managers and with player managers is really ongoing now. Josh... I don't think Josh was storming out of the Saints, but he certainly got a 4-year offer with great security for himself. So if we didn't have the players to, in some ways, replace him, we wouldn't let him go. He makes us better, Josh, no doubt. He's good fun, well-loved, and he wasn't going anywhere unless we thought we had at least some sort of adequate replacements, some sort of adequate compensation, and the ability to move forward with the players that, you know, we think Paddy can play forward with Marshall. We think Max King's going to get better. So we think, okay, there's a net off there that's probably okay with Brucey going, but the sum of all the parts for who came in, I think, makes it work. And Josh has been a good servant and was happy to go. So we sort of got there in the end.
And with Jack Stephen, I mean, we identify and understand and acknowledge that there's an element of benevolence in getting him to a place where he's going to be happiest, but you also don't want to just give him away. How hard was it to strike that balance?
Yeah, it was a really difficult one. You know, Jack came in yesterday to, in his own way, sort of say thanks, but didn't really want to talk about what had happened. That's not him. Look, he's been a four-time best and fairest, I think, 11 years at the club. He's a basic free spirit who's a good person, who's had a bad 12 to 18 months on all sorts of fronts. And he was really clear that what would be best for him to keep playing footy was to start afresh. So that was difficult. We didn't want to lose Jack. And I reckon in our heart of hearts, we would have liked to have got better compensation than we got. But in the end, to get some compensation and to help him out, that compensation helped us move on with some more stuff. If we had sat there wanting more than that, we would have got stuck and not got the rest of it. And that would have not been fair on the club to not do the right thing by Jack and get some more things to get better.
Do you have to pay any of his wage?
Yeah, we do. We're contributing to that. Only for the first year, not the second.
Is that tied to the pick? If Geelong said, well, we'll cough up more, but you've got to pay more? Is that an element of that?
Yeah, probably. I mean, that all gets a bit murky by the time you do or don't do it. If we were only doing Jack Stephen this whole period, that would have been a different result. You know, if we were only bringing in Dan Butler, we wouldn't have let Brucey go. And if Bruce was going to go, he would have gone for a lot more than he went for.
Mm.
We had, an outcome on Brucey that we were going to demand Lettuce, Scott, Jones and Butler done. Otherwise, no go, because he's too good. Mm. So we were pretty reasonable in spots. And we had wins in spots. But, yeah, in isolation, a discreet transaction wouldn't happen unless you knew what was surrounding it.
Salary cap wise, did you need to do Jack Stephen? Did you need to get his salary or most of his salary off your books?
It doesn't hurt. You can always manage your cap. We're starting to get tight, which means we're probably about where everyone else is. Good clubs are really tight and having to juggle things all over the place. So it's helpful. It's not helpful losing your best player. And he's our best player. He's probably moved away from being that because of the condition he was in this year. But it's unhelpful to lose a four-time best and fairest. But it's to lose some of that money means, yeah, you can afford to go and get Howard and pay him a little bit more than he's going to get for a bit longer just to stump up what you need.
Look, it's been an extraordinary period. Let's be honest, we can't play it down any longer.
Smiling like you're about
for Saints fans today only, this is for today only, and what a day you should be doing this. You can sign up to access memberships for the price of one. So get on board, Saints fans. It's been and I say this seriously, it's been an unbelievable couple of weeks. 1-300-467-246. We've struck a new award this year on the basis of these comments last year.
Being a new footy manager or general manager of football on day three, it'd be a feather in my cap if Lockie stayed at the footy club. So that's what we're working towards.
It would have been a feather in his cap, that being Peter Bell, but he didn't. So he didn't get the golden feather, but we struck the golden feather and we didn't get you in here just to award this to you. But now that you're here, we can hand this over. And hey, we know it's not just your hat. We know that it's James Gallagher and we know that it's Gubby Allen.
Share it around the office.
Someone has to be the front man. So on behalf of everyone, congratulations to you and St Kilda. You can take this, you can put it in there with your one premiership.
Gary.
The golden feather is yours, Simon. Well done.
Gubby can wear this around Spring Carnival, but James Gallagher can wear it maybe to Oakstade. It'll suit him. He did an unbelievable job.
Yeah, he did.
And Gubby was a nice voice of reason to have around too. So, no, Saints fans, if you're up and about, get on board because we need to try and get 50,000 members this year.
He's emotional.
Clearly he's overcome with emotion, Gary.
He can hardly talk.
Lots of other things I'm sure he'd love to say.
I know you guys are going to stick around for a few more weeks too and really dig into the rest of the process.
No, we're not. We're out an hour and 9 minutes and then we'll be back. Great to see you.
Well done.
Well done.
Thanks, boys.
Tom Harley and Joe Danaher, their two names have been linked for what seems like 2 years. It's probably been 2 months since they were spotted catching up in Sydney. Joe then came out and declared that it would be his wish to get to the Sydney Swans and continue his career. That dominated trade talk right up until the moment it wasn't. Tom Harley's been good enough to join us on the line. Hey, Tommy.
Good morning, Gaz. How are you going?
Well, we're going okay. I'm interested to know how you're going right now, given that it was such intense scrutiny, debate. I'd imagine, I know you keep a close ear on what's happening down here. It's just dominated the landscape and it's added up to nothing.
Yeah, it's obviously gets pretty heated towards the end. And I guess one of the things that I absolutely appreciate the media appetite and the interest. It's what drives the game. But what often gets left out is the human side to all of this. And I guess when the coalface, as our guys were, and the, all the players involved, not just Joe, but there is a human side to all of that. So that's got to be taken into consideration. So as long as you can put your head on the pillow and you've done the right thing by people and you've done the right thing by your club, you'll sleep okay. But appreciate it. It's been a big story.
Do you think you've... Okay, so let's just ask the hard questions, bearing in mind everything you've just said. Do you think you've let him down by not being able to get the deal done?
I mean, it's a question for Joe, really, clearly. And I've never spoken on behalf of him, and I won't do that. I care for him a lot. But at the same time, we put forward an offer that we thought was compelling. We thought was absolutely commensurate with the deals that have been done of players of that ilk previously. Others will have a view as to whether that's right or not. Essendon clearly didn't, which is fine. And what I will say about the Bombers and the way they handled it, always respectfully, were always consistent that they needed a player to replace Joe. You can't do that with draft picks. We had draft assets, and as recently as midway through the final day, we were told unequivocally that 5 and 9 as two draft picks wouldn't get it done. And I guess when you're talking about responsibility to your club, to get 9 without the guarantee of securing a player of Joe, I don't think there'd be a responsible list management group that would do that. So once we're in that sort of territory, it became pretty hard. And from that point of view, clearly there's some disappointment in that. So we have to move on.
So if 5 and 9, if you had an indication that 5 and 9 would get it done, would you have done the Papley deal?
Look, it's we put forward what we thought was a compelling deal. And that's involving two first round picks. I guess you put yourselves in our shoes when we're repeatedly told that 5 and 9 wouldn't get it done. And to have the hand of 5 and 9, you'd have to trade out a player without any guarantee of getting the other one done. I don't think you can do it. And so from the point I understand, that's what people want to hear. Yes, we would have given up this, or yes, Essendon would have taken that. It's all a bit moot at the end of the day. We put our best foot forward, and Essendon, within their rights with a contracted player, didn't do the deal. And we understand and respect that. And to be frank, we did the same back the other way with Tom Papley. So that's the human side I'm talking about.
Hey, Tom, at any stage did you talk players with Essendon? Were there any players that they wanted or required from you that you actually thought about possibly including in this deal?
No. I mean, I don't think it is fair to talk about which players were spoken about. We certainly didn't offer any up. We certainly had conversations around the industry to try to find Essendon a solution. There's no doubt about that, a forward solution. But no, we didn't offer players up. Other than Tom Papley, who wanted to go, and we were willing to help facilitate that. We knew Zach Jones wanted to get to Melbourne, but they weren't players that would satisfy the need of a Joe Danaher leaving. So, we absolutely explored everything. The conversations were always open and transparent. And as I said off the bat, Tim, and I mean, Adrian and Essendon well, obviously, they were very consistent all the way through. So we don't have an issue with Essendon. I'd hope they don't have an issue with us. Unfortunately for all the people involved in the parties, our outcome couldn't be achieved. And Essendon keep their play, which is a good result.
Sorry, Tom, are you confident that you'll be able to get Joe in 12 months' time?
That's a question for Joe. Look, it's as I said to someone just before, we've got 364 days to work it out. So to try to resolve that this morning... Joe will obviously have his views. He will be feeling certain emotions clearly about this. We'll reflect and see what we can do. It's a different landscape next year. Mm. He's not a free hit like everyone thinks. He's a restricted free agent, and that's important that people understand all of that. So we'll assess, we'll look where the list's at, and we'll go through the process that we need to follow to make sure that we're a better footy club.
Just on that point on the free agent, so he's a restricted free agent, so he gets to name a price. Obviously, yep. If you are accepting of that, then it goes back to Essendon. Yep. If Essendon match it, what happens after that?
Yeah. Then it becomes a trade. It becomes the same situation. So I guess, let's put some names to some examples. In the past, you've got Tom Lynch, who went as a free agent, and the Gold Coast Suns chose not to match that, so he went as a free agent bid. Patrick Dangerfield was a free agent, Adelaide matched the bid, and so Geelong and Adelaide put forward a trade. So they're the two possible scenarios if this is revisited. And as I say, there's a fair bit of water to go under the bridge, and clearly the player's going to be at the centre of that, and we'll pick up those conversations when they're appropriate. Probably 8:30 the morning after the trade period closes isn't just then, I don't reckon.
No. Have you spoken to Joe, though? I mean, you've got a relationship with him. Have you spoken to him since?
No, Joe's over in Europe at the moment, and yes, I've been in contact via text with Joe. I'm very comfortable saying I care for Joe. I've got a good relationship with Joe, and ultimately we weren't able to deliver him to our footy club, and that's the way. So there's a disappointment from a personal point of view and from that side of things. But maybe next time we do catch up, I'll probably hope it's in private, so it doesn't become such an issue.
Hey Tom, what's your advice to Joe about how he approaches next season now?
That's a good question, Tim. I haven't. It's not my responsibility, I don't think, to talk to Joe about the footy side of things and how he approaches it. From what I know of him, he will get on with it. He's highly respectful. He's a professional, and he's a footballer, so he's got a job to do, and I'd expect him to do that with the Essendon Footy Club. So, as I say, he will take a big deep breath, I'm sure, and he'll front up on day one of pre-season and rip into it. And I guess if I'm pressed to give him some advice, it's probably that, because that's what I'll do.
If you would you be expecting Essendon to try and extend Joe beyond 2020 through the course of next year?
I'd assume so. Yeah, I mean, if he was our player, we would. Mm. So again, that's out of our control. So not really relevant for me to comment on how other clubs contract their players. But he's a good player. He's a really good player. He's a good person, and we put a value on that. And then Essendon, in response, put a value on that. And he's playing for the Bombers. So I'm not going to get involved in how contractual discussions between a club that's not ours and a player that's not ours.
Hey, Tom, we really appreciate giving us the time this morning. Just one final question on Tom Papley. Is there any relationship rebuilding that needs to take place now between Tom Papley and the Sydney Swans?
Well, I think just to the point, Tim, that he clearly had a desire to get to Melbourne. We had a contract, and as I say, very similar to Joe in that set of circumstances. So, we've had conversations with Tom. We'll continue to ensure that we provide him with the best possible environment. And I guess one of the things when you're a non-Victorian club and you have players from interstate, you've really got to take that seriously, and we do. We significantly invest in welfare. Dennis Carroll's the head of our people, and we think we've got the best in the competition, unashamedly. I'm happy to say that. And we'll get to work, and whatever Tom needs, we'll provide that.
Tom, really appreciate you hopping on this morning.
No worries, guys. All the best. Chat soon.